Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
You're locked on Fast Break Friday on The V Show.
Presented by AL81.
You can give it to your girl, or share with a squirrel. LA, soft drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place. Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV Network.
Welcome to Fast Break Friday. We have a situation brewing here. This is breaking news.
Oh, geez.
There's a chance that we're going to have a work stoppage here, and Paul Rodgers is going to walk out.
Whoa!
I do not work on an empty stomach.
He's wondering.
I save up for my Biernals pizza on Friday.
That's fair.
And it ain't here yet.
Blake and I were talking in the back. Right? Phil needs to get his happy ass down to the studio. Mm-hmm.
But I have text here, so it leads me to believe it's coming. Because yes. The text says, thanks to George and the Biernals team for bringing by lunch. Would that be right, by the way? I say this every week. It should be... Paul's good at grammar. Should it be thanks to George and the Biernals team for bringing lunch by... Well, Biernals team bringing by lunch.
I think it's bringing lunch by.
Me too. So
yeah, but bringing by lunch.
Let's solve it by bringing lunch to us.
There you go. That makes it even better.
Paul's like, I got your grandma right here. Bring me the chicken pizza.
My wife got a T-shirt one Christmas that says, I'm silently correcting your grammar. And all the grandkids saw it and said, she's not silent about it.
Biernals has you covered for the big games this weekend, and of course for the biggest game. Where the hell are you going now? Always getting up with no announcement.
Maybe he's going to speak.
So what are you going to do? Go out in the street and yell?
Like father, like son. His phone's dead.
Hey, not anymore.
At least he has one.
And I got two now.
I know one. He has one, like most people.
Yes, well, that's true. But I've got chargers now. I mean, I'm rolling. How do we not have an endorsement deal, by the way, for this phone? This is the best phone ever. Still haven't finished reading the copy. It's 45 years of Louisville-style pizza. And you know what they have right now? Because coming up in just a couple of weeks, they have heart-shaped pizzas are back from now until Valentine's Day. Maybe that's why what the hell's his name?
Phil?
I'm telling you, I'm losing my mind. You're a little older than I am. Do you ever have a day you can't just come up with a name like...
Bill, it never happens to me.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Phil is what I was trying to say in the midst of all that... word salad. Maybe that's why he's delayed, because he's waiting for a heart-shaped pizza, which will be sold from now until Valentine's Day. Carry out delivery, dine in, 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana. Yeah. Oh, your wife won't like that either. Yeah, it's that good. Do you know Paul McCartney's father tried to get him to change? That's so hilarious. She loves you. Paul, do you have to say yeah, yeah? Can't you say yes? Well, that would not have worked. So he said, we're Americanizing our language so much.
Yes, yes. I don't know.
No, that is
not. It would especially not work at the end of the song. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
that's the Marv Albert version. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my. All right, so that gets underway. Well, break up the cards on a one-game winning streak here.
I don't think they'll lose again. I think they got it all figured out.
Wow.
They'll end on a 10-game winning streak.
You should publicize that, because the worst thing that happened, you know, that's how Mike Francesa got his job. Did you know that? Mike Francesa was just a stat guy. That's what he was, a stat guy. And he came on Don Imus's, the late Don Imus's radio show, which I imagine you know was a very, very big deal.
Mm-hmm. That
was the only non-sports show that WFAN had for a long time. And he came on and he predicted, for some reason, I never asked him about it, Seton Hall to go to the Final Four. which at the time seemed like a preposterous prediction.
So that was, what, 88?
I don't know how long ago it was.
That's the year they went, I'm pretty sure. I don't know why I remember that, but
And why he decided to say that, I mean, because there were people all over the place clamoring for PJ to be fired, and then he went to the Final Four, and they said, wow, this guy knows his onions, and then they put him on the air, and he became the arrogant superstar that he is. So there you go.
He is maybe the only arrogant radio guy I liked. He was very knowledgeable.
No, he was.
He backed up his arrogance.
He was.
But he was I only met him one time. I was up at the Belmont Stakes.
He likes horses.
Yeah, loves horses. And he was doing his show from the track. Mm-hmm. This was, I think, Friday before the race. And I just went up to him, introduced myself, and
he told you to go jump in a lake.
He was reasonably friendly. He
told you to take that microphone. Oh, I'm sorry, that was another tag.
Well, I knew he was friends with Patino, and so I mentioned who I was and what I did.
And Parcells. He was very close with Parcells.
Yeah, so, and I didn't want to think I was just some wacko fan. So I said, just hang on a minute before you jump right away.
Semi-kid, because he was nice to me, too, but he does. And maybe it's just his on-air persona, and maybe that's the nature. A guy texted me yesterday and said, listen, a while, you're still the same arrogant blowhard you were, so I guess, you know, we all come across, or many of us come across that way at times, I guess. So, I mean, if you think about it, let's not kid ourselves. There has to be a certain amount of, especially for a talk show, not necessarily for a play-by-play guy, but for a talk show guy, basically what you're announcing to the world is, hey, everybody, all right, listen to me for just a few minutes. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to talk, and it's supposed to be important enough that you should want to hear what I say.
That's how you get ratings. You get them to listen and stay there.
Same things with writers.
He and Mike and the Mad Dog were great together, although I never did really like Mike that much. They were a good yin and yang.
Well, you mean Christopher Russo?
Yeah, yeah. He was the Mad Dog back then.
Yeah. Yes, and everybody loved the way he started his show. Yeah, good afternoon, and welcome. Yeah, he
he knew nothing about racing.
No,
when I would always hear them was on Belmont Weekend, and they did talk a lot about it, and Russo, by admission, was a horse racing novice.
He knows a ton about baseball, which wouldn't fly in this market so much, but he does. He loves the San Francisco Giants, and they were on. Did you see them? They had them on the show at Stephen A. First Take. About 3 or 4 days ago. And they brought them on. They basically relived a lot of their famous fights.
The 30 for 30 about them was really good. That was also very good.
Yeah. So let's get back to the matter at hand about Louisville's having won. And now they play a Florida State team that is not one of Leonard's stronger teams. But they certainly made short work of Louisville in Tallahassee. But, I mean, I know that's not a popular take for people who don't think Kenny's made a lot of progress, but they're a better team now, Louisville is, than they were.
Oh, yeah,
then.
They are. And I think Florida State is, too. They were going through some health issues, but, I mean, did you see any of their game with NC State the other night?
I was calling the scores to you.
6 minutes to go in the first half, I believe it was 40-10.
Yeah.
And then, and they were making everything, State was. And they eventually, they being Florida State, I think got as close as maybe 18 at one time. So they made it's sort of like Louisville at Notre Dame.
Yes.
And you came back, but the hole was too deep to make any difference. I forgot what the exact final was. But they're a hard team to get a handle on, but as you said, they're not the Florida State that we have become accustomed to. So you got to think Louisville's got a fighting chance. I mean, the win the other night was great. Enjoyed it. It was good to see. It's not going to save the season or turn it around in dramatic fashion, but it was a win. And they deserve to enjoy a win because these guys
and
have
an entertaining game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. That's what I was talking about is not only they win, but you know, the game was never more the biggest margin up until the final buzzer was like 7 points for the whole game. So, you can still have a nice night at the ballpark, if you will, even when your team is struggling. But that was, and I gave you credit on yesterday's show too, because you know, we've had so much talk here and fans getting so disjointed at Kenny, a section of them, a significant segment of them. But you pointed out, while they're not getting 19,000 or whatever in the building, the people who are there, I haven't heard any, anyway, like booing or anything. In fact, they give Kenny a big warm welcome when he gets introduced. And as the game, whenever Louisville put a run together, and there were a couple of really good hustle plays, like the one that Emmanuel made with the ball going out of bounds and saved it for three, and the way Jalen was playing at the beginning. The people on board there are there, I don't want to make it a right or wrong, but it is a right or wrong. They're for the right reasons. They're there to cheer their team and enjoy themselves.
Well, I've always said my favorite home courts are the one where the teams are cheering, where the fans are cheering for their team and not against the right. other team.
Yep.
It's a fun environment. It's a lively environment. It's a positive environment. I think it brings out the best in both teams.
I agree with that, too.
And I just like that. And so what you're getting now with this 8,000 or so core fans, I think, that are coming. And if you don't want to come, fine. That's your prerogative. But the people who are coming, I think, are the people who are being positive-minded and encouraging the team and responding to good things they see. So it's been actually a pretty good environment
yes,
at the game. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd love to be back to 20,000 every night, and hopefully we'll be there soon. But for what they're getting, the fans there have been supportive.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, I told you this, I think, last time you were here. I read the tea leaves. I read that article on how to do that. And the number three was all over the cup. And I was like, well, they already had two wins. I said, that means we're going to win one more game. Well, let's hope we're going three more games. So we'll see. We got the one already. I hope that's not the last gasp here. But
well, you do have Georgia Tech again.
Yes.
That would be a possibility. Florida State, you got to think of a possibility. The others are going to be tough. And by the way, when you play Georgia Tech again, and I would assume they'll have Davon Smith back. I mean, there's no you got to face it. They missed him. I mean, he's a terrific player for them.
I mean, isn't it amazing when you're missing your point guard and it impacts you probably most on the backboards?
Yeah.
I mean, they got dominated on the backboards because their point guard was out. That sounds
six
like
feet one. He's their leading rebounder. And apparently he just I did not know he wasn't going to play. And finally, at halftime, I had a chance to run down to the Georgia Tech broadcasters and asked him about it, and they said he'd actually gotten hurt that morning in shoot-around.
That's when you know you're having a bad year.
Yeah.
When you get guys hurt at the walkthrough.
Yeah.
That's not very cool.
He's
Bob,
gazing closely at the text
because
line.
I don't know if it's a misprint. What is the guy talking about?
Oh, jeez.
No.
You're not fighting this guy.
No.
Damn it, my phone's about to die.
Will Bob and Paul publicly call for the Ballon to be? What does that mean? I'm afraid I'm being got, and I don't know. I'm afraid. I always get nervous.
Yeah, Let me see.
Will Bob and Paul publicly call for the Ballon?
The balloon. The Chinese spy balloon.
Oh, to be shot down.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't shoot that down.
Paul.
Shoot him down.
Paul is on record saying
send
yes.
the artillery.
I'm a little skeptical. I need more information since I know very little. I don't know. That guy needs a name when he drops in the show and yells at us. By the way, for the people scoring at home, it is. Louis and Dan, I know, is back in town today. Great to see him. Are they keeping premature babies in here? What the hell is going on? It's like 9,000 degrees.
It's an incubator.
In here.
The babies are back. I don't know why. It does get really hot.
Oh, my God, is it hot in here?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, also, by the way, nice to see Dan in town for our buddy. One of you guys has to go, man. I mean, I know you want to, but somebody's got to go and represent the Kentucky Anna Friends of V. The guy was doing everything for us.
Absolutely.
The guy, of course, is Mike Pratt, and the thing that we're talking about is tomorrow they are going to raise his jersey to the rafters in Rupp, and well-deserved. I can't believe they hadn't done it till now, to be honest with you. I mean,
believe they didn't do it till now.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was a great player there. He was an academic All-American. He's the nicest guy walking the face of the earth, and he's been a broadcaster now for about as long as you and I have been together, just about the same time.
I think he did 20 years.
Yeah, at least 20. What are we on, 23, you and me?
I believe it is. I think it's 23.
Yeah, so and he started either right after us or right before us, so he's definitely more than 20. So. These are the tech. What is the deal in here, Lou? Honestly, I know you're an entrepreneur. Are there they're definitely babies in here, premature babies. They have to be something.
So do you think I get to touch the thermostat when Dan Issel's in town?
He wants it this hot? The guy
I have no idea.
Played in Denver, for God's sake.
I would look at the wall. Sometimes, and we have great sponsors at this station.
76 when I came in.
We set it to 71, and it's like 75 in there.
Oh, my God. And Paul, first of all, you're running the risk of ruining my show because he's pissed now because there's no pizza. So he's already pissed off. And then it's 9,000 degrees in here. He's blowing his clam bake in about 2 minutes.
Hey, I'm Team Paul on this one, by the way. Get that balloon out of the air. Let's go.
Fair enough. Safe to say that.
That is kind of spooky looking. Have you seen the video of that?
It is creepy as hell. Yeah. Look, everyone knows what's up. This is why I'd be the best president ever. Because it's an unmanned balloon. Like, I don't want to kill anybody. If someone was up there.
But that you'd shoot down with just.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, apparently, there's like a lot of stuff hanging down from the balloon that they don't want falling on somebody's head.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. You generally don't want to kill your citizens.
Montana is rather sparsely populated. I think you could find an area.
Is that where it is? It's over Montana?
Yeah. You can roll those dice. And that's the other thing. Like, America, we got missiles.
Just make sure it doesn't come down on the Yellowstone Ranch or you got a big problem.
That's a good point.
Joe Montana.
Rip's going to be mad.
During Super Bowl week, you can't have it come down on Joe Montana either.
Seriously, what a great thing that'd be. Biden just goes out there with a Javelin missile launcher. We get a slow clap going.
Look at this.
Oh, the pizza is here. So one crisis is averted. Oh, very nice. Right. And even put it on a plate.
I don't usually get a plate either.
Thank you, Louie.
There you go.
Now, I could complain and say I really like the meat pieces as well as the pepperoni.
I got only
the pepperoni, but either one is fine.
Nope, that's right. You can make a second. You can go for seconds. I've seen you do that here. I'm amazed that he's still his fighting weight. And on Friday,
seriously, he's the best shape of the show, turns into you and me put together. But he doesn't look like you or me.
No.
He looks like a fighting.
We get the strangest, honest to God, Paul. I don't know if it's you or you and me together. We get the strangest texts on Friday that are not at all like the ones that fighting about Kenny. Here's the next one.
I'm the variable here. I guess it must be.
Bob and Paul publicly called to shoot down the balloon. That was one. The next one that just came said, "I want to smoke a doobie with Paul and have him share stories." He wants you to just tell him stories while he's he's higher than a kite. Since we're talking about balloons, why not? Next one says this. I mean, this is the whole text. Hi, how are you guys today?
Fine, thank you.
I love the text line. Text line's lit today.
Oh my God!
I love it on teleconferences when every reporter starts with, "Hey."
I just had my cough button pushed.
I was going to say, "Where did he go?"
Don't you love it on the teleconferences when every reporter starts with a coach by saying, "Hey, coach, how you doing?"
Oh, no, they don't even say coach. I noticed that. They all call the guy in basketball anyway by the first name. Mm. Football, they don't, because the football coaches will have them shot right there. But the basketball coaches, it's always, "Kenny, I'm just wondering, you know, your team's not very good this year." You know, that's, or Rick, they even say to Rick or Cal. All the Kentucky guys always call him Cal. But I don't ever remember anybody starting a question at the Alabama press conference with, Nick. I'm just wondering. I mean, I think you'd be banished. The Chinese are spying on the set of Yellowstone.
Aha, that must be it.
It is a good show.
I don't think so. I think they're making their way to the stadium for the Super Bowl. That's what they're going to do. They don't want to pay the broadcast rights. They're sticking that balloon right over the stadium and defying us. And the NFL will shoot it down. There's no question.
Roger Goodell
will be marching out there with blue jeans and a T-shirt. Get the hell out of my way. I'm not giving the rights to this game away.
50 caliber sniper rifle.
Blasting, guys.
Make sure it doesn't fall on Rihanna.
He's telling the guys that come by to do the flyover to start the game. You, second on the left. What's your name again? Johnny, knock that balloon down. Thank you.
Weapons free.
Nick needs to play. Oh, that's a good point. Nick needs to play his rejoin music, Up, Up, and Away, by who?
Fifth Dimension, of course.
Nice. He could host a music show. Did you ever fill in on a music show at WHA?
In the summer of 1972, I went to Nag's Head, North Carolina, just to go away for a summer to be a waiter. And while I was out there, I ended up getting a job as a DJ at a radio station.
Really? Obviously music station.
Yeah. It was 72, so, and we played the current, and we'd alternate an oldie and current.
The best of today.
So the current was in early 70s, and it was right in my wheelhouse in the late 60s.
Absolutely.
By the way, while I was in Nag's Head that summer, I've told this story numerous times, so you may have heard it, but the Rolling Stones were going to have coming for a concert in Norfolk, which is just like an hour north of where I was.
That's where I went to school.
And I remember this day, this is 1972, remember, the push on this promo was, "This might be your last chance to see the Rolling Stones in concert."
They only missed it by only
50 years ago.
50 years. Oh, my God. Oh, that's quality. That is a good point. No, you never told me that. I wonder where they would be playing in Norfolk. They're probably playing at the Scope.
It was the Scope, Norfolk Scope.
Yeah.
Where the Colonels and Squires used to play.
Oh, yeah, ABA Arena. That, for the people who don't remember, they were called the Virginia Squires, not the Norfolk or whatever, because they played in three different arenas. They played in the Norfolk Scope, they played in the Coliseum in Richmond, and they played Well, the Coliseum wasn't in Richmond. The Coliseum was in just over the bridge.
Newport News?
Newport News, that area, right. Didn't Kentucky do the same thing? They were called the Kentucky Colonels because they played some games here and then in Lexington,
no,
right?
No, they were always the Kentucky Colonels. They started in Louisville. There were, I think, maybe 2 years. One, I know, possibly 2 years, they did play a few games in Lexington. But now the Carolina Cougars were truly a three-city team.
That was different concepts by them, which you know what I find.
I don't hate that.
I find interesting. Here we go. Paul has to deal with my soapbox rant.
Is this a soapbox or a wormhole?
No, it's a soapbox.
Okay,
because I am a product of where I was born. I'd love to see major league sports here. I know you say, well, Louisville's major. I'm not talking. That's major college, top of the line. But there are other places that have that and also have a professional sports team in town. It's more work for people. There's more jobs. I enjoy it. I enjoy professional sports. And they keep saying to me, well, it's not viewed as a major league market. Okay, maybe that's true. But all I know is every time I see any kind of a transport company, they're all going through Louisville. Everybody goes through Louisville. UPS goes through Louisville. FedEx goes through Louisville. Why? Because it's a major city for a hub. Oh, it's a major city when it comes to sending Billy's, you know, toy truck from Tonka, but it's not a major league city for the athletes to be at. That makes perfect sense. Just be consistent. They're getting a Topgolf. We got that after that fight. You know about this other thing they're building? Same guy who founded Topgolf.
No.
It's a thing called...
I was at Topgolf yesterday, by the way.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Have a nice time. You hit it good? Hit it?
Not very.
Oh, well, that's okay. You got plenty of time to get your
no,
game.
No, I do.
It's called putt. What is it called? Oh, I got to look the damn thing up. It's called. You know how I found out about this one?
Well, right next to Top Golf, there's another golfing type thing.
It's on. It's not going to open till the early
like
part of 2024, and it is called
something putt. It's got putt in the name.
It is. That's what I said. And you know how I found out about this? When I was taking the cab putt shack. That's what it's called, putt shack. You guys went from Boston to Notre Dame, and mm-hmm. I had to go on my own, so I was taking a cab to the airport, and there's big signs on the billboard, you know, join us at putt shack. I was like, what the hell is that? So I looked, and I found the history, and it's the same guys who started Topgolf, and they have, I think, five locations now. So this is like, and the guy's talking about, oh, it's an ideal place for it. Louisville's a major thriving city. And I'm saying, how come it's a major thriving city for that, but not...
So it's a mini golf type place?
Kind of, but to call it mini golf is like, I don't know, saying that, I don't know, pick the biggest, grandest restaurant in the world. It's, you know, it's a cafe. The place is huge. They serve gourmet food like Topgolf. It's expensive as hell. $18 for 9 holes.
Ooh.
But the holes are probably, they must cost like $500,000 to build each. And it's got lights and neon and ramps and different levels and you know, big. Like this one hole, they have pictures of the ones that are open. As I said, there's four that are open. And they have the red solo cup set up in a triangle like you would play beer pong.
Uh-huh.
You got to putt the ball and get it up the ramp and into the target. And the center cup is not red. And if you get in that one, then it goes down a tube and probably gets a hole in one. But if you can't do that, if you got people who aren't, you know, really putters, it's like Topgolf. They can try and go around it and still get a point. But here's the thing. This is what they... I mean, I don't understand. Like bowling, I can understand why people want that automatic score, because I bet you half the people who bowl now don't know how to keep score. If they had to keep it with pencil like they used to, they have no idea what the score would be. They don't know how it works. I should do that one day as a thing on the show. In the summer, that'd be a good topic. But anyway, they still do the same thing like they're doing at Topgolf. The golf balls at this miniature golf place have sensors in them. And it records it every time you hit it.
Huh.
And unlike like if you played traditional miniature golf where, you know, after 5 strokes, you're supposed to pick it up, this one goes to 10, and you're not trying to get the lowest score. You're trying to get the highest score, not the highest number of strokes. But like if you make a hole in one, I don't know, making the numbers up, you get 100 points.
Okay.
A 2 is like 70, 80 points or whatever, and it goes down to 10.
So the fewer strokes, the more points.
More points. But you know, and you don't have to keep track of anything. The scoreboard does it for you. And so it's really simple. Who's winning? Well, Paul's got 250, and Tommy's got 210. And so on. And
that's good, because when I take my grandkids to putt-putt, between the golf ball, the golf club, the scorecard, the pencil, I can't hold everything.
That's exactly what they say. I hate to say it, but especially for women. They're playing, they got to carry their purse. I hate to say it because I'm such a competitor. You got to play it right. When they're playing with the purse over their shoulder, come on. You know, lock the thing up in the car, for God's sake. But that's what they said here. You don't have to worry about carrying anything, pencils, writing scores down. You just play, and the game will keep track of it. But $18 for 9 holes?
That is little steep.
Yowza. That is, but they're thriving, the ones that they have open already. I mean, so anyway, it's a major city when it comes to new, experiences, but not for pro sports. Anyway. All right, let's see.
Where were we?
We were never anywhere. We just started talking.
I was trying to find an inspirational music bed for you to go on a rant with, but I did find this.
Okay.
For some reason, it was really hard to find, but I found it. Shout out Myron Metcalf for tweeting it back in the day. But remember when Coach Cal called into Mike Francesa's show?
Yes, I do.
Says can't coach. I didn't say Cal can't coach. What I said is he's not a great X's. This is Cal sending me a message. Can't coach. I didn't say he couldn't coach. I said Cal is a great recruiter, a master
coach
motivator.
Cal
he's not a
in.
Classic X's and O's K. guy. There are better X's and O's guys. Majerus, as an example, was a better X's and O's guy than Cal. Cal, though, gets guys to play together and play hard better than anybody because he takes talented kids and he gets them to play defense. He gets them to play unselfishly, which is a absolute gift to be able to do that. Is he the greatest X's and O's guy? No. There are better tacticians, but he's a great motivator, great recruiter. There's a lot that goes in. There's more than one facet to being a top coach. John in Kentucky, what's up, John?
Well, I think the guy is a great coach. I think an X and O's, this is John Calipari.
I know it is.
Are you saying I can't coach?
I didn't see.
What are you saying?
How sensitive
you
call me up?
I'm sitting there next to you.
Come back up. Come back up. How about you calling me? I didn't. You see, you know what you're like? You're like a caller who doesn't listen, okay? Or a listener.
I
didn't say.
Wait
a second.
Back at you,
no, I didn't. Say this. Let me. Can I talk now?
Wow.
What I said to the guy was, I said, you are a master recruiter, which you are, a master motivator.
And you said he's not.
And I said you're not a great X's and O's coach, which you're not.
That's basically saying I can't coach.
That's not. Wait a second. Is there one facet?
You know what they call me? The magician. Cal the magician.
Wait a second.
New team.
Wait a second. Are there better X's and O's guys than you?
Do you think I believe that?
Yes.
I will pass the lie detector test and say no.
No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. Are you a better is there a better motivator than you?
I don't have any idea. I'm just trying to do what I do.
No, I understand
don't compare
that.
Myself to anybody.
But listen, I understand that, but there's more than one, and thanks for the call because you're gone. But the cat's actually Cal calling. But I never said you couldn't coach. What I said was you're not a classic X's and O's guy, which you're not. That's not your strength. Never has been. You're not going to be a guy who's going to say, all right, listen, I'm going to diagram this. I'm going to do this. No, you're going to put your guys out there and make them play hard. And you're going to send out very talented kids and get them to play together and play tough. And that's what you do. And are there better X's and O's guys? Yeah. Is a guy like the late Majerus a better X's and O guy than you? Absolutely. He would win with less talent than you would. But he couldn't coach the talent you could coach. He couldn't get them to play hard together. He couldn't even recruit the guys. They wouldn't even be on his team. They wouldn't even be able to stay in practice with him. He'd drive them nuts. So I think there's three or four facets to being a top coach. I think you have to be able to, on a college level, you got to be able to administrate, you got to be able to recruit, you got to be able to motivate, and then come X's and O's. It's not all, and no one's going to be top at all four. Very few guys are going to be best at all four. Would people say that Bob Knight's a master recruiter? No. He couldn't recruit everybody. He was going to recruit certain types of guys that fit his system. He wasn't a master recruiter. Was he a master X and O guy? Of course he was. But he wasn't a master recruiter. So every guy is going to have different marks in each category. There's more than one category to being a coach. You should know that. You do know that. You're just being argumentative. Paul in Hamden, what's up, Paul?
I remember having that discussion, hearing that discussion and argument in Joe B. Hall's early years at Kentucky. He's not near as good a coach as Denny Crum, but he's a great recruiter. And I don't know how you break it down, but it's all part of coaching.
Part of it is we're all busy and we want to pigeonhole guys. This guy's funny. This guy's a personality. This guy is a motivator. This guy's a recruiter. The fact of the matter is, I mean, he's right to some degree. Nobody coaches everything. It's impossible. I mean, Jim Calhoun said that at a clinic. So you got to decide what's important to you. But it's kind of the same thing about what kind of a brand you're building, which coaches build brands. But to say that you could be at that level and win and not be able to coach, which is what some people say. you know, that he can't coach. It's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's just craziness. And what do you think? He starts the game to his assistant. How many guys do you play again? Is it 5, 6? I always lose track. I mean, it's,
who do we want to start?
Yeah, who's the really tall kid? He was good last year, as I remember, wasn't he? I mean, that's just craziness. But it's what people like to do it, and it makes us have a debate. And, you know, I just – listen, nobody wins without good players. Nobody wins without players that suit the way they want to play, which is what we're learning about this Louisville team, among other things. But the people that want to oversimplify it, you know, I'm not buying that. Hey, when is we almost close? We are close, aren't we? Let's see what time that says. Give me a time here. God, I can't see anything anymore. Time is. Oh yeah. Hey. We need to take bottom of the hour break because the good sister's coming up. I got to look at it. She's 102 or 103. I have to go look that up. That's astounding. And I would think, with all due respect, you'd be really good for this interview because your parents have those.
My father's 99th birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks.
I'm sorry, my cut it. What'd you say?
My father's 99th birthday.
Wow, he's a kid. Like, sister, she'll just mock him. I don't think she will, but she's got an interesting story. We'll talk to her in just a bit, and looking forward to having her share some of her wisdom. She's funny. She's very funny. She's got a good sense of humor.
Sister Jean, you're talking about, right?
Sorry?
Sister Jean, you're talking about.
Oh, I didn't say her name. Yeah, Sister Jean, of course, from Loyola, who became a celebrity. She has a bobblehead. I got to ask her about that. That's quality. Do you know she played high school basketball? Yeah, in California, where she's from. She was a high school basketball player. And in fact, I love
this.
Was that
when they had 6 on a team and you could only...
You know, should ask her because...
Some stayed in the front court, some could go both, some stayed in the back court.
They played 6. 6 on a team, like you said, 3 in the front, 3 in the back. And I don't know. I'll have to ask her. That's actually a good question. But, you know, she's this made me laugh. This is one of the previews, because I haven't seen the book yet. But one of the previews said she started to... You know, she's there as the team chaplain. She's not there as in charge of, you know, advanced scouting. She would incorporate her scouting report into the prayer for the pregame prayer.
Good way to go.
I got to ask her how she did that. Was it like, and good Lord, Father, please let us hold our own on the backboards. This team is very big. I'd like to ask her how she did that. So we'll find
out.
Lord,
please help the guys down the ball screens.
You know, it's since I'm a big baseball fan, this is true. And the Dodgers were obviously everything in Brooklyn. They were wrapping up Mass on Sunday, and the Dodgers had an afternoon game later that Sunday. And the priest, very solemn, he's going through all the things and pray for the refugees and pray for this. And he ended it by, and please, God, help Gil Hodges get a hit. He had been like literally 1 for 35 in this World Series. It was terrible. So he even had them praying for him. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back. The good sister joins us in just a moment, and Paul and I will have a chat with her, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. ESPN 680, 105.7, and Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 8, Kentuckiana's original ginger soft drink since 1926. Yeah, there we go.
That's right. Paul's already out of the studio.
Yeah, couldn't wait. He's got to go back for more. He wants to make sure he doesn't get closed out. It's like at the racetrack. You want to get closed out. Break. We'll give it to you, girl. A share with a squirrel. Buy by the case. A port in your face. L.A. It's all drink of tomorrow. L.A. A new kind of taste. L.A. It's all drink of tomorrow. L.A. It's from another place. Crisp, clean, L.A.
St. Vincent de Paul, whose donated cars program helps fund life-saving food, shelter, and recovery programs, as well as educational outreach for at-risk youth. For details on donating your vehicle or to shop an inventory of cars and boats for sale, visit St. Vincent de Paul at svdplou.org. That's svdplou.org. Do some good for your community. Donate your car. St. Vincent de Paul.
Want to be the real hero this Valentine's? Genesis Diamonds makes it easy with the Total Romance Package. It's the jewelry, the flowers, the candy, and the dinner out. All the key ingredients for a memorable Valentine's celebration. Here's how it works. When you buy any piece of jewelry for just $99 or more, we'll give you some gourmet chocolates, flowers from Nans and Crafts Florists, and a gift card toward dinner at Brasserie Provence. We've pulled together some wonderful Valentine gift ideas for the occasion. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, bands, affordable, timeless gifts she can enjoy for years. And of course, if you're thinking of getting engaged this Valentine's, Genesis can create the ring of her dreams with our dazzling GIA diamonds and designer mountings. Unlimited possibilities. So bring the sparkle and the romance with one-stop shopping at Genesis Diamonds. Spend just $99 or more with us and get the flowers, the chocolate, and gift card for dinner as our gift. Happy Valentine's Day from Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza. Limited quantity. See store for details.
Ellison Bodenhausen Orthopedics has cared for U of L athletes and all of Kentuckiana for more than 50 years. From physical therapy to total joint replacement, Ellison Bodenhausen offers the highest quality orthopedic service. They guarantee same-day appointments. Whether your little one was injured on the playground or ball field, your significant other got hurt at work, or your elderly parent is suffering from aches and pain, Ellison Bodenhausen has a new office in New Albany at the corner of Grant Line Road and 265. Proud supporter of U of L athletics and you, book your appointment at enbortho.com.
Hey, this is Bob Valvano. The weather may be chilly, but the sports are heating up. Come swing by the Fox's Den. Fox's Den has over 30 TVs to watch the home stretch of football and all the action on the hardwood. Red, blue, crimson, they got you covered. Hungry? How about a chef-inspired gastro pub menu? Live music, too, every day of the week, which you can enjoy on a heated patio. And if all else fails, you can play some billiards on one of a dozen tables. They even have my favorite, pinball. The Fox's Den is in the heart of St. Matthews, your home for billiards, bites, brews, and hoops.
Are your funds stretched a little too thin lately? Now is the perfect time to get your money in balance with an amazing credit card balance transfer option from Commonwealth Credit Union. Get 5.99% APR for the life of the credit card balance transfer with no balance transfer fees when you transfer your balance to a Commonwealth Credit Union credit card. Visit ccuky.org/creditcards for more information. Commonwealth Credit Union. Here, we see you differently. Insured by NCUA. Call us at 1-800-228-6420 for details about credit costs and terms. All loans subject to approval.
College basketball is in full swing in the Bluegrass, and Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, they got you covered for all your game day supplies. Hey, it's Andy Sweeney. If you're red or blue, stop by your nearest Cox and Evergreen Liquors to stock up on drinks, party supplies, and much more for the season. Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors, 23 area locations, walk-in, drive-through, delivery. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
LA, a new holiday. LA, it's our drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Enough of me, so let me talk to the general public. Now we're on. Good. Looking forward to this next interview. Sister Jean from Loyola Chicago. She is, God bless her, 103 years young and still goes to the office basically every day, is what I'm told. So that's pretty interesting, and we'll look forward to getting her secrets to longevity, how she wound up in Chicago from San Francisco, where she was born. And talk about her new book and Seth Davis's new book, which is I haven't got a copy yet, but by golly, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I love that Seth, he told us it was his idea. Of course, got to take a bow. The subtitle of the book is The First 100 Years. I like that. So we'll talk to her about that. Sister Jean. And I really am interested in finding out how basketball was played back in the day. 103, wow. Wake Up with Purpose is the name of the book. You can find it on Amazon, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years. And I hope she's going to be able to join us, although Nick looks like he has a troubled face. Troubled face? Not a troubled face? Is she yelling at you? That'd be great if she comes on. She's just a diva.
I'm busy. What do you want?
Right. Who is this one? Norm, what's your name again? Nick, Schmick, whatever. All right. So we'll find out. Well, what are you going to ask her? You know?
I don't know. I didn't realize she was going to be on, but just kind of as a tangent, of course, the coach at that time at Loyola, when they made the headlines, went to the Final Four, is Porter Moser,
who I just
is now
did
Oklahoma,
his game.
Who just beat the snot out of Alabama last weekend, which he witnessed firsthand.
I want to ask her what she thought of him. I meant to tell Porter that we were going to have the good sister on here. Tell the public. Oh, you don't want to tell the public?
Oh, no, we're working out a connection. They're going to call back on a better line, like a hard line.
See, that vow of poverty they take in certain Catholic churches, they should get a good cell phone.
Really? Really?
You know, I for a long time kept a landline at home just to do radio interviews, right? Because I hate cell phone interviews. The quality is not good generally. I always say the worst thing cell phones are is phones. They're great at everything
else,
they are.
But
they're terrible phones.
That is true.
And
although
once in a while you'll get this crystal clear connection. Yes. And I don't understand why.
Well, you get it with my Verizon.
There you go.
I should give them a plug because they didn't give me this darn thing. I could use somebody to give it to me. Loyola, unfortunately, is not having the best of years this year, but my guess is Sister Jean has a fine way of approaching that. Drew Valentine, who played at Michigan, I remember him. He was a good player. Is now the head coach. Porter Moser, as you talked about, is at Oklahoma. And I'm trying to time this so we're not in the middle of a topic when she comes on. So I'm trying to read Nick's body language. But he's not giving me much help here.
Well, let's take a moment and look at Loyola. They have not had a great year. They're 7-14 and 1-8 in the conference, which is the A-10. So maybe she's not praying as well as she hoped.
I'm going to blame it on her. Fans on talk shows in Chicago. I'm telling you, what the problem is? We need a younger sister in there doing the prayers.
She's not praying properly.
You know this because you're a bit of an historian, but Loyola, everybody loved that great run to the Final Four, and it was kind of out of the blue, but they were a powerhouse. In fact, they won the national championship here
in Louisville. Cincinnati in overtime. Yeah. Cincinnati went into a stall.
That'll
led by like 12 or 14, something like that, with, roughly 8-10 minutes to go. Loyola came back, got it in overtime, won the game. I remember distinctly watching that game in my basement. My parents were at the game, and Les Hunter was on that
Les
Loyola
big game
Hunter and became a Kentucky Colonel later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sister Jean probably couldn't remember that game because she can remember a whole lot of championship games. So she joins us right now, and we are honored to have her. Sister, how are you today? I hope the world is treating you as kindly as you deserve.
Well, the world treats me kindly every morning, every night. So I'm doing fine, all in between.
Well, we thank you. Were you at Loyola as far back as that? We were talking about when Loyola won the national championship here in Louisville in 1963. How long have you been at Loyola?
Well, I was at Mundelein first, and Mundelein was our neighbor. Loyola was our neighbor. We shared the same fence, as it were. Mm. But at that time, yes, I was at Mundelein, and the 1963 game, the final game, another sister and I watched on a little television about 11-inch black and white. And the game, of course, had been delayed. And, of course, there were no cell phones or anything for direct communication. And it was late. So having living at that time with 150 young nuns, we couldn't have them all looking at television. They had to be studying. So they didn't get to see the game. So that's why it was just Sister Joan and me watching. And so we watched, and, as soon as that last bucket went, last ball went into the bucket, it was as though somebody had put an alarm out on the street to get everybody out there. And so the young men, Loyola was all men at that time, Mundelein was all women, the young men from Campion Hall and others who were listening to the game marched down Sheridan Road, stopped at our women's residence hall, picked up all the women who could come out at that time, and this was about midnight, so they walked down the white line in the middle of Sheridan Road, almost to Evanston, saying, "We won, we won, we won."
By the way, the Cincinnati. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was so exciting. It was so exciting, and we really lived it up, and we lived up the 50th anniversary when the men who were on the team and still walking around came from Mississippi State, and we played Mississippi State that day, and the score was just 2 points different from what we had done in 63.
Wow.
So it was just a great gale of time, and I think we still celebrate with them because a Porter started the program of bringing the 1963 men in to talk to the current teams, and that Final Four team was very close to those men. Mm. I want to say those young men. They'll always be young in my mind because the people say, when I talk about older people, they say, "Sister Jean, don't talk about older people. You're older than anybody."
Well, in your mind, you're not talking about older people. You're talking about the youngsters out there.
That's
all
right.
Younger than you.
Absolutely. I do have to, you know, again, the book, which I'm so looking forward to reading, is about Sister Jean's life, basically, written with Seth Davis. How was he a nice person to work with on this book? He comes on our show somewhat frequently. What kind of guy is he to behind the scenes, Sister? What can you tell us?
Well, I'll tell you, when the Final Four was, when we were getting to the Final Four, about six people approached me and said I should write a book. And I said, "I don't have time. I have too much to do. I can't take time to write a book." Well, so I didn't write a book. And then Seth called me, and he starts talking to me about writing a book. And I said, "Well, I don't think I can do that. I don't have time to do it." He said, "Well, you can make time to do it."
Wow.
He's a fellow that pushes hard but gently. And so I told him I would talk to my community and I would talk to my employer to see if I could do that. And they both said, "Go for it, Sister Jean." So I called him and said, "Yes, we're going to write the book."
Wake Up with Purpose. Well, I love the subtitle, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years. So good. So now we're starting on, we'll be waiting for the sequel in another 97
years. That's what Jeff said, too. And I said, "Wait, let's get the first book out first, see how it goes." But he's a great guy to work with. And he came, the first time he came to Loyola to interview me, we had a 5-hour interview session. And that doesn't include lunch because we even talked about it at lunch. So then he came a couple other times and then we talked many times on the phone, read the manuscripts, and he's a great interviewer, just as he's a great college football analyst on CBS.
Well, he's a great fan of yours, too, I'll tell you that. He can't say enough good things about how much he enjoyed it. I learned some things from talking to him and reading your bio. For the fans who don't know, Sister Jean is with us, and she, of course, is the chaplain and matriarch, I guess it's safe to say, for the Loyola of Chicago basketball team. You played basketball in high school out in San Francisco, is that right?
That's correct. I wasn't a good player, though, because I didn't have any experience in elementary school because we didn't have sports. The school didn't have money for boys' sports or girls' sports. So when I got to high school and had the opportunity of being invited to learn how to play basketball and be on, well, today what we would call a club playing time, mm-hmm. I just joined it. And in those days, the court was divided into three sections, two guards and two forwards at each end, and two centers and two sides in the middle. And so I was a little girl, short girl, so I was a side. And there was very little action. It was mostly just passing the ball. And if you stepped over the line, you know, you lost the ball. And only the forwards could make the shots.
Really?
In the basket.
Didn't
yes.
I know you had two in the front court, two in the back court, and weren't there two who could go to both ends of the floor or not?
No. They couldn't go up, they couldn't cross those lines. Huh.
Wow. So that's why all the scoring, I would definitely, no matter how small I was, I would definitely want to be one of those guys up and taking all the shots.
Those were long before you guys were even born, because that was between 1933 and 1937 that the court was that way. In 38, after I graduated, they changed to half court. They realized that women could really move around in the court.
What a radical thought.
Yeah.
Right. And then later on, of course, actually not until I was coaching in the elementary school did we go full court. So that was in the 40s sometime.
Wow.
So it's it just shows how long it takes to accept a change.
Yeah.
Well. But the women and the girls at that time that I was coaching really liked the full court right away. And it gave me an opportunity to make them stronger, because at the school where I started that, at St. Charles in North Hollywood, I would have them, the boys, play the girls at noontime on the playground, and the kids, the other little kids, would just watch and be mesmerized by what was going on. And I'd have to say to the boys before we started, you have to hold back a little bit, because the girls are just learning how to do this. So they held back a little bit, but I'm telling you, it made the young women, the girls, just a little stronger and a little more aggressive.
You know, I hope you'll take this in the vein I mean it, but you could be just a pencil seller on the corner, and it would be fun to talk to you, because the things you've seen at 103 are amazing. But you are so charming, insightful, funny. I mean, I'll look at it the other way. You could be 23 and you'd be fun to talk to, because you've had quite an experience. And I just can't say enough of how much we appreciate you being with us. One of the things I wanted to ask you about along those lines is, somebody told me, now I don't know if this is true, so if it's not right, you can correct me. I'm sure you will. They said you I just have to laugh because I think it's funny, would sometimes incorporate a scouting report into your pregame prayer. Is there any truth to that, or are they just spinning tales?
No, that's true. That's true, because we expect God to help us. And that's the way I talk to the team. I haven't done my scouting prayer for tomorrow, but I will do that. I will do that against George Mason. So I'll find out what they're doing. And then what I do is look at them, mostly at the box score, because I can't see every game, but the box score tells me a lot. And sometimes when I listen play-by-play, I'm figuring out the box score in my own mind as we go through. So I will do that tonight. And then tomorrow when I pray with the team, I will tell them to look out for certain people on this team.
I was raised Catholic. I don't remember that prayer. I would have responded to that prayer. That's awesome. I mean, like, you know, well, Father, can you help us on the backboards? Or how do you do that exactly?
It's very important that they keep God in mind. And then I tell them they also have to play with their head and their heart and their hands. And so then when I finish the prayer, it's very short, because they're ready to get out on the court for the last time to warm up. I say, I bless their hands for them. As I say, that's very important when you pass that ball, that you give it to the fellow who can make the shots. And they're a team, and that's the way they've learned. Doesn't make any difference who makes the shot, as long as it's made and gets the 2 points or the 3 points. And sometimes, the last game we played, that three-pointer tied the game, and that was very important to us. So it's just fun to talk to them and pray with them, and they go off very soberly, and then they get out there and start yelling and shooting the ball. And then And I say a prayer with the fans, but I don't tell the fans who they're going to watch out for. I just try to be gentle. But at the end of the prayer to the fans, I always say, oh, God, when that scoreboard, when the final buzzer rings and we see the scoreboard, let the big W be for the Ramblers.
I thought you weren't supposed to pray for wins. I'm curious, in all your years you have been involved in college basketball, specifically at Loyola, have or have not players changed over the years? And I'm talking more in terms of people, their personalities, what they tune into and don't like. Have they changed over the years, or are they still just kids to you?
Well, there are certain things, for example, there are certain things that they do that actually reflect what this team of 63 did. I mean, they play as a team, and that is what is important. And we, both Drew and I, keep reminding them that that's what they're supposed to be doing. And they try to do it. They don't always make it, but they try to be play as a team. Over the years that I've worked with the team since 94 now, and some of the personalities are different, but they all try their very best. And I think that's not only for Loyola, but the college students have a different feeling about basketball from the NBA. I'm sorry to say that, but you can tell, I'm sure the viewing audience is bigger for the college basketball than it is for the NBA. Because the NBA, as the college kids say, are playing for money, but we're playing with our heart. And that's what's important. They want their school to win. I've never seen a school on the court that didn't want to win the game. So I think that's pretty true. How have I noticed that they play differently? This year I've seen the biggest change that's occurred since I've been working with these young men. And that is all the fouls they make. And it's not only Loyola. They're all making these fouls. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I call them silly fouls or not so good if the other
person is coaches going call
to do all the points, get the points. That's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Texter sister just texted us and said, oh, please keep her on until 3 o'clock. I know you have other things to do, but you're making quite a hit here. I do want to tell you this. I'm sorry I forgot to mention it to him. I just did the Kansas Oklahoma game for radio, and I saw Porter Moser, and he had that team playing terrific that day. What a likable guy he is. What an extraordinary man. He must, I guess, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you must have enjoyed working with him when he was the coach, I imagine, right?
Oh, yes. Porter is unusual. And I think he's so good as a coach. It's because he's a good father. He has, his daughter is on the basketball team at Oklahoma. His son is on the basketball team. His next son is on the basketball team in high school. And so is the little guy about 9 years old. He's also on the team. So they love basketball. They love what their father does. And he shares things with them, too. When he was thinking of going to Oklahoma, he asked them how they felt about that. And they said, Dad, whatever you want to do, we'll do.
Mm. Wow.
So that's very hard, and that's very hard on his wife, too. But Porter called me at Christmas time, and we had a nice chat about his team. And I said, well, how is the team? He said, I think I have them where I want them. Now, for Porter to say that is a really big compliment for his team. And I you're right. He's doing well, and it didn't take him long to get there and to work with those young men. There's something about him that they like what he does, and Drew has his own way of things, but he's doing some of the things Porter did too. And so the transition from Porter to Drew was made easier for the young men. It's easier for us We didn't have to get used to a new coach. And so that we going into this conference has been tough.
Yes.
We know that. It's been very tough on us. We want to win, of course. But when we changed from the Horizon League to the Valley, it was tough for us for a couple of years. But look where we got there, and that's why we were invited to the A-10. So our other teams in the university have done well this year, but we have to pull basketball, both men's and women's, up this year and get them to where we want them. Mm. And we'll get there. It'll take a little time.
I'm sure they will with you in their corner, no doubt. Three things very quickly before we let you go. Because the listeners, I think, would enjoy hearing your comments on this. One is, I've heard, again, I don't know if I've got it right, that you have a subway stop named after you on the Chicago Mass Transit line. Is that true?
Oh, yes. The Red Line name on my birthday, my 103rd birthday, they changed it. It's the plaza. And it's the Sister Jean Plaza.
Oh, I want to go take the train just so I can stop there.
Well, you could do that. Then you could just stop off and see me and Damon 123.
There you go. Not at all.
That was going to lead to perfect. It's like we scripted it. Here's my second question. People probably want to know, what's your day like? And when we were talking to the people, the publicists at the book company, they said, oh, she's in the office every day. She comes to work. I am so impressed by that. And so, like, when do you go in, and what are your responsibilities there? And anything you tell us about your day, I think, would fascinate people. So what are you doing at Loyola now?
Well, I don't have an ordinary, regular day. It changes. Sometimes I have thought about the purpose of my day, and then I get here and somebody's waiting to see me and knocks out my first half hour, and that's okay with me as long as I'm helping that person. And then I have to be sure that I catch up where I belong. I'm a campus minister, so anybody can come in to see me. And I'm right in Damon, which is our student center. My door opens right into where a couple hundred kids are studying or doing work, school projects. They can come in and say good morning to me, or they come in and say, oh, can we have a selfie, Sister Jean? Or they fall into the chair and they say, I've had it, Sister Jean. And so we talk about having it and all that kind of thing. They can come in anytime that they want, and faculty and staff also stop by. So my day is full. I get here in the shuttle bus because I live at the Claire downtown, where I get therapy for my shingles in my right leg.
Oh boy!
Destroyed my muscles and my nerves, but I'm having that. I go to therapy, and then I also go to Loyola's Medical Center every 3 months to get a Botox injection, and I have the best-looking foot in Chicago. But
oh, my. Let me ask one last thing. I said there were three. I asked you two. Here's the third one. I think it's appropriate to finish with this. Your book is titled Wake Up with a Purpose. Wake Up with Purpose, rather. How did you – I know sometimes in people dealing in you know, religious orders, the way they wind up where they ultimately are maybe different a little bit than how just Joe Blow walking on the street is. But how did you find your purpose, I guess, would be the simplest way to ask it. And what can we take from that in hearing your story?
Well, I think part of it is because of my religious life and my religious training. But even before that, when I was in high school, I used to think about what I would be doing that day because I had certain responsibilities as a senior. I was in charge of the bookstore. I was the first one to be able to be selling things in the school and doing things like that. I was also in charge of the tardy bell, so I had to ring the tardy bell 2 minutes after the regular bell rang so everybody would be in her classroom. I went to an all-girls school. And so I was thinking of all the things to do because also I used to, as a junior, I used to be responsible for putting out the materials we needed in our physics class, and when I was a senior, I did that in chemistry. So I had different responsibilities on different days and would think about them when I got up. So I think that was the beginning of my doing a life with a purpose, because I knew what I had to do. And the novitiate was the same way. We had a regular routine there of early getting up early, 5 o'clock, going to meditation, to mass. We did our house duties. We went to class. So we had a purpose all the time. Maybe we didn't call it that, but that's exactly what it was. Mm. And now what I'm doing, I wake up at 5 o'clock. I do my morning meditation. Since COVID, I have been watching the mass coming from the bishop's group, and the mass comes from Toronto, and it's very lovely every morning. Then I have breakfast, get ready to come to school, take the shuttle bus, come to my office. Be here all day, until about 3:30. We take a shuttle bus back again to the Clare. And then at night, I wouldn't have always hear your service news, world news. Mm-hmm. And then I listen to the local news, so I know what's going on, because if I don't know what's going on, I won't be in touch with what the students are hearing. And they like to talk about the news. They have to get that out of their system, especially when there's so many shootings still going on.
Gosh, yes. And you got to do all that and still have time to break down tape and put your scouting report together. That's a multitasking if ever I've heard it. So, yes, I don't want to keep you anymore, because you got to get that George Mason scouting report together, right? So we got to let
That's
you.
That's right.
Yeah. So, sister, I cannot thank you enough. You are absolutely God's gift to all of us, and I'm looking forward to the next 100 years, and we appreciate so much for you spending some time with us. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you, all of you.
Oh, thank you. My goodness. What a... I'm not kidding. You should read the text. The people, you know, Nick, you got your last half hour. You're absolutely, I'm not telling you how to produce. You're out of your mind if you don't play that again.
She's amazing.
For the people who didn't hear it, I mean, you don't have to apologize to play it a second time. We had people. Did you see people standing in the hall listening over the internal speaker? Because she is really funny, too. I got the best looking.
She's sharp.
Looking foot in Chicago was the line of the whole interview. That was hilarious. Oh, man. That made my day. That was great.
She was terrific.
She absolutely was. Book again is called Wake Up with Purpose, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years. She is sharp as a tack.
Seriously. We went 30 minutes. That was a 30-minute interview.
You think I'm kidding when I'm telling people, saying, you know, please keep her on for an hour, please keep her on till 3. It's unbelievable.
That was awesome.
Fantastic. All right. We'll take a break. Paul's with us for another hour or so.
Yeah, I think we have his Kenny Payne press conference.
Coming up, so we got lots of stuff going on. Thanks.
Say goodbye to the people in
Lexington. I hope you enjoyed that, because that was pretty awesome. I don't care what team you root for or where you are and what conference. She's strong in interviewing and making a difference in all the people with whom she comes in contact. Right. Thanks, everybody in Lexington. We'll be back here in Louisville, TSPN Radio.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition. And I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.